So today's message is, who's who are you? Who's who are you? In other words, who are you is what I'm asking the question of. But often the who are you ends up being, you know, about what somebody else has said. What somebody else has said about you. So who's who are you? Are you the who that your parents say that you are? Is that the who that they say, you know, what they have said about you, what dreams they have had for your life? Is that the who that you are? Or are you the who that your friends have said that you are, the things that they've said about you or not said about you or the looks they've given you? Is that the who that you are? Or are you the who that you see up there on the TV in the commercials? The who that's, you know, if you're smoking the right cigarettes and drinking the right beer, then you're going to be around cool friends and having a good time and always, a, you know, something really delicious on the barbecue. Is that the who that you are?
No.
Who are you? Or are you that who that when you look in the mirror, you see the reflection of yourself? Is that the who that you are? Is that who you are? Because a lot of times, until we know who we are, we can't move forward. Until we really know who we are, we cannot move forward and step into what's there for us. The thing is, the fear of the unknown is greater than the fear of the sickness. The fear of the unknown of what's going to happen, what's going to happen in my future if I'm not who my parents have said I am, if I'm not who I think I am when I look in the mirror, if I'm not who what society is saying about me, then who am I and where am I going and who will I become if I let go of all this stuff that I think I am? What will happen if I let go of that? Where will I go? Who will I be? And the fear of the unknown is greater than the sickness that you have today. The fear of the unknown is greater than the false belief that you have today. The fear of the unknown is greater than the limitations and the beliefs that you put on yourself or that other people have put on you. And I've seen this time and time again, that people are afraid to let go of their sickness because who will I be if I don't have that to cling to? What will I do if I don't have these habits, addictions, and traits? And there are a lot of times this negative stuff we're talking about, but they would rather have that than let go and step into the unknown. It's too scary out there. Who will I be? I won't know who I am. So the first thing we have to know is, who are we? Who are we? And when we know that, when we know who we are, now we can begin to move forward in life and step into who we really are. We begin to move forward. Without knowing that, there is a roadblock there. If we don't know who we are, we can't move forward because the fear is too great of the unknown. We have to be able to see it. We have to be able to see it so we can step into what was created there. So how do we know who we are? Because as I said, there's a lot of people who say who you are. And that's the who that a lot of us are becoming. We are becoming all of what those other people are saying rather than being our true self. And if we're not able to be our true self, we're not able to step into the benefits and the blessings and the gifts that are unique to you. Your own unique gifts and talents and abilities, you cannot live them. You cannot fulfill the dream. You cannot move forward if you're living your life according to what somebody else said about you. We got to know who you are. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know it and see it clearly so that you can begin to move forward in your life. That's where the benefits are reaped and received. I've seen it time and time again over my life when I've encountered people who don't know who they are, they cannot let go. They cannot let go of what they have, even if it's sickness. They can't let it go. They hang on to it and they cling to it. So how do we see who we are? How do we see who we are? Now this is interesting. It happens when God reveals himself to us, then we see who we are. When God reveals himself to us, then you will see who you are. It is in the revelation of the greatness of God, of his love, of his power, of his peacefulness. When you behold it and see it in all of its glory, then you suddenly get a revelation about who I am. Why? Because when you truly understand and see the Creator, now you understand the possibilities of the creation.
Amen.
You are the creation of God.
Praise God.
And when you get the revelation and the realization of who God is, then you know who you are. When you know who you are, now you can move forward. That means you can let go of the addictions. You can let go of the sickness. You can let go of the habits. Why? Because there's no longer a fear of moving into the unknown. Who am I going to be if I go there? What will become of my life if I let go of my sickness? You don't have that fear anymore. Now you know where you're going. And you know who you are. But it comes not by focusing on all the problems you have. It becomes by beholding the brilliance, the perfection, the glory, the love of God. The more you can see how great God is, the more you know how great you are.
Amen.
The more we focus on ourselves, the less we start to see all the imperfections. We start to see all the downfalls. We start to remember all the mistakes we made, and that becomes the who that we think we are. We start to see all the mistakes, shortcomings, sicknesses, and that's who we see we are. And when we look in the mirror, that's the who that's there. But when we see God, and we see His glory and His perfection and His greatness, and that's what we're focused on, now we begin to see a whole different who when we look in the mirror. We see a who of perfection. We see a who of power. We see a who of love. Man, this sounds a lot like Dr. Seuss. But this is so important, because it's so easy for us to get focused on ourselves. You know, get focused on our own self-effort. Get focused on my problems. We start looking at what we don't have or what we need or what we have to do. And what happens is we start to focus on ourselves rather than seeing how great God is. Our attention has been diverted. Now, I want to take this to the scripture and talk a little bit about a story we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And this is in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we've been talking about Elijah in this story. If you've been in our Bible study, you already know what story I'm talking about, because this is the one we've been working on. But this talks about exactly what I've been talking about. It talks about turning ourselves to God and seeing how great He is. Now, if you remember, there was this competition up on the top of the mountain that Elijah had commanded, that had called, and the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, have an altar and a bull upon it and wood upon it, and the whole thing was to, you know, they were going to call down fire from their God, and Elijah was going to call down fire from his God, and whoever actually lit the altar was God. So they're going to find out for sure. And we already saw that the prophets of Baal had their chance. And when they called on their God Baal, hey, bring on fire, bring it down, come on, nothing happened. And so they shouted, and they screamed, and they danced, and they cut themselves until blood gushed forth. And still, nothing happened. Nobody paid attention. Nobody cared. Nothing happened on that altar. No fire came. And then Elijah's turn. And Elijah turns and says, God, I want you to hear the people to know that you are God and that I'm your servant. Bring the fire down. I'm paraphrasing here. And right away the fire fell and consumed the bull that was on the altar, consumed the wood, consumed the altar itself, which was made of stone, consumed the dust that was around the altar, consumed the water that was in a trench around the altar. It was all consumed and gone. This fire came down and consumed everything. What we're talking about is the same thing. Now, the regular people, not the prophets of Baal, the regular Joe on the street, are easily persuaded by public opinion. It happens all the time. In the media, in our life now, when the media is saying something, pretty soon you start hearing every Joe on the street say it. every regular Joe starts to talk about what the media is talking about. They start regurgitating and saying the same thing that's being said there. Public opinion. They begin to think, I'm who they tell me that I am. Whatever's popular, that's me. And this is what was happening back to the regular Joe people back in that time of Elijah. Because there were 450 prophets of Baal and only one prophet of God, Elijah, public opinion was, let's turn to Baal. And what we saw in the deeper spiritual meaning of that when we looked, we were seeing that the people were in rags. Ragged clothes, they were thin. They had no strength in them. They were weak, and they were in darkness. How many people, when they meditated on this story, saw darkness of some kind coming upon the people? I even saw these prophets of Baal in the mud. That's how blinded they were. And they're focused on, in this altar, a representation could be they're focused on themselves. A false idol. When we're not turned towards God, we're focused on a false idol. Ourself, our own self-effort. And when we do that, things get darker and darker and darker. And what happened? Nothing happened. Same thing happens in our life when we start to focus too much on ourselves. What happens in your life? Nothing happens. And as it said in the scripture, nobody cared. Nobody heard. Nothing happens as we focus on ourselves. It just gets darker and darker and darker, and we keep focusing on ourselves, and now we've gone down the rabbit hole, and we don't know which way is up. We don't know whether we're right side up or upside down or inside out. We don't know whether we're going backwards or we're going forwards, but yet we continue to go because we have to do something. And this is what happens when we focus on ourselves. And in this story, as they focused on the altar of Baal, there was just darkness, and nothing happened. And nobody cared. But now the tension turns. Remember, this is Elijah now, the only prophet left of the Lord God. And the people turn their attention now. He says, come near, is what he said, and the people came near. They turned their attention away from themselves. Now they turn it towards the Lord God. And then the fire comes down. And the fire consumed the flesh that was on the altar, it consumed the altar itself. It consumed even the dust. And in the spiritual, this is very significant. Because here, fire coming down represents the Spirit of God. And God is love. The love of God coming down. The Holy Spirit is another way we say that. Comes down and consumes the flesh. Flesh has different spiritual meanings, but in this case, as I was meditating on this, God revealed to me that it represented our own self-effort, our own self-interest. When we get so consumed by our own problems, we're focused on the problems of the flesh. Get it? It had to be consumed, taken away, washed away, wiped away. The altar, God showed me, represented sacrifice, meaning the sacrifices we make in our life, the struggle we go through in our life. And that also had to be wiped away. And dust represents damnation, meaning the mistakes, the shortcomings, the false things that I've done, all lead to more problems, more of the same. And that also was wiped away. The fire consumed it all. And now, what the people behold. They don't behold themselves anymore. They're not seeing their own problems, their own self-effort, the flesh. They're not seeing the sacrifices they have to make or the struggles they're going to go through. They don't see the altar. They don't see the dust, meaning they don't see the damnation and the mistakes and the shortcomings that they have anymore. They don't see that. What do they see now? What is left? The fire. The fire is left. They see a glowing, brilliant, beautiful fire that's left, and that represents the love of God. It represents the Spirit of God. The people are beholding how great God is in this moment right now. They're seeing, oh my goodness. And what did they say? This is God. They said, this is God. They are beholding the love of God. That is the fire that came down. And they don't see anything else. Everything else has been consumed. They just see that fire. And as I said, when you're seeing that, when you see the glory of God and the love of God, now you know who you are. You begin to understand who you are when you behold how great God is and how great His love is. We getting this?
Amen.
Maybe we need some amens here, some high fives.
Amen.
All right. So, what happened after this in the story? It talks about, now a lot of people when they're reading this story, they thought, oh, this part was harsh. They took those 450 prophets of Baal down to the brook and executed them, is what it says. And everybody goes, oh my God, that's horrendous. You know, that's so awful that they would do that. But what it represents in the spiritual is teachings, false teachings. You can't have correct believing and false teachings coexisting at the same time. You cannot have your sickness also with your health. When you behold God, you can receive the health. If you're still carrying the sickness, though, how can you actually have the sickness if you're still hanging on to the sickness? If you have the memory of how bad you were, but now you behold how God is good, and you know, I'm good too if God created me, and you're still holding on the memory of how bad you are, how can you experience how good you are? Now the false beliefs and the memories and the old things, the old teachings, the things we heard about who we're supposed to be, begin to interfere with the greatness that God has just revealed to us. So we got to go down by the river. We got to go down by the brook and wash it out. Get rid of it. Execute it. Meaning that old part of ourselves has to die down by the river. Have to go down there and wash it out. And that's what happened in the deeper spiritual. It represents your journey with God. When you behold how great God is, you now see who you are, and you know these old memories that are saying I'm no good, or these mistakes that I keep remembering, or this sickness that I keep carrying, it's not mine. And you got to go down by the river and wash it out. Let it be cleansed away in the understanding of God. And that's what we saw there. The old part of ourself dying so that we could now truly live and be what had been revealed to us when we saw the fire of God, the love of God. Now we can truly become that because we don't have conflicting memories and beliefs. We have got the other ones washed away. And that's what God does for us. Now in this story from First Kings 18, we see all this taking place. As I said before in previous weeks when talking about Elijah, Elijah is a foretelling of what God will do in the future. He is actually a representation of Jesus. And that's exactly what happens when God comes down into the earth as Jesus. He comes down as the fire. He comes down as the fire, meaning the love in your life. He comes, the Spirit of God comes into your life, comes into your heart, comes into your body, and now that Spirit consumes the flesh. Amen. Doesn't destroy you, but wipes away all the self-effort, all the self-focus, all the self-attention gets wiped away when Jesus comes down in that Spirit into your heart. And He wipes away the altar, meaning all the things you think you have to sacrifice. I can't have that dream. I can't become who I know I can be. It wipes that away too. It wipes away the dust, meaning all the mistakes that I made, all the shortcomings that I have, all the things that I think I did wrong that has ruined my future. Now I can't have a great future because I've screwed up too many times. Nope. The Spirit of God washes that away too. And so now we behold, when that Spirit fills us, how good God is. When we receive Jesus, we see how good God is. Remember what He said, this is my beloved Son. He said, this is my beloved Son who I am proud of or feel good in, right? And He sent us the Son who He loved, and we receive that love. This is the love of God coming down in Jesus. That's what it represents. And so in receiving that, we see the goodness of God. When we're focused on Jesus, we are beholding the brilliance and the glory and the perfection of God, and that reveals for us the perfection of us. And now when we receive that Spirit, all the dust is washed away, meaning all the mistakes are washed away. They're consumed. The sacrifice of letting go of dreams that we have, consumed. The flesh, meaning our own self-interest and worry, consumed, so that we can stay focused on God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us so much, he wanted to bring that love down here. And in the form of Jesus, he came down. God came down and brought the love. He brought the fire. The same as we see the fire fall on the altar that Elijah set up. The fire of God came down. The Spirit of God came down to dwell inside of us. And it is finished. How do we move forward in life? By beholding the greatness of God. If you get focused on what's missing in your life, the things that you need, the shortages you have, the mistakes that you made, you're focused on your own self-interest and self-effort, and now you're only seeing what's wrong, and like the prophets of Baal, as they focused on that altar, there was darkness, and nothing happened. But when we turn our attention and our focus to God and focus on his greatness, and we see that in Jesus, we see the perfection of God, we see the love of God, we see the power of God, we see the Spirit of God, now everything changes in our life, because now we begin to behold who you are. Who are you? Who are you? You are righteous. And you are favored, and you are blessed. And I've said this many times, but sometimes people don't quite understand, what does that all mean in the real sense, Ted? What does that mean in my life? Let me read something to you that might give you a greater sense of this. This is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And it says right at the end of this chapter, as he is, so are we in this world. He is Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. So however Jesus is, that's me. That's who I am. Whoever Jesus is, that's you. That means you can ask yourself, is Jesus sick? No. As Jesus is, so am I in the world, then I am healthy. We are now beholding the glory of God. Is Jesus condemning himself, saying, oh, darn that, I made a mistake again. Oh, darn. And beating himself up for it?
No.
No. He is not doing that at all. As he is, so are we in this world. See, we're beholding and looking towards him and what he can do and what he has done, and we are seeing that we are the same. Say, I am the same as Jesus.
I am the same as Jesus.
I am the same as Jesus.
As
he is, so are we in this world.
As he is, so are we in this world.
We can look time and time again. Is Jesus an addict?
No.
No. Then I'm not an addict either. Is Jesus afraid?
No.
No. Then I'm not afraid either. Is Jesus blessed?
Yes.
Yes. Does God love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, that means God loves me. That means I am blessed too. Is Jesus favored?
Yes.
Yes, then I'm favored too. As he is, so am I in the world. Does Jesus have victory over the world?
Yes.
Then I have victory over the world also. This is what I'm talking about. As we behold and see how great God is, and we see how perfect he is, that's when that fire reveals to us who we really are. Amen. When you get that revelation of who you really are, you are Jesus. You've got the same power. You've got the same ability. How many times have I said, the things that I do, you will do also in greater things than these? These are the words of Jesus.
Amen.
He said that you'll do the same things that he did and greater things than that. Why? Because you are the same. He came down as an example to show you who you are so that you can see it. You're not what that TV commercial says you are. You're not what your parents say you are. You're not what your friends say you are. You're not what your past or your history says you are. You are greater than that. You are the same as it says here in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in the world.
Amen.
And when we get the total revelation of that, then our life moves forward. There's no longer a fear of where we're going or a fear of who we are. There's no longer conflicting ideas. Remember, the people had to go down in the story of Elijah. They had to go down to the brook and wash out the old memories and the conflicting ideas so they could step into the life that God created for them so they could be who they were. Up to that point, there were some false ideas in there. There was some wrong thing. It was bringing darkness. It was bringing sickness. It was bringing problems into their life. But once they beheld the brilliance and the love and the glory of God, they went down to the brook and washed it out. And the same is true in our life too. When we, as we continue to behold how great God is, and when we see his perfection, now you know, I am perfect too. Jesus is perfect? Yes. That means I am perfect too. Jesus is good? Then I'm good too. Jesus is good, you're good. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
The more you behold and focus on him, and now it takes the attention off of yourself and your own self-effort and your problems, and it gets you, because if you're focused on that, you're same as focused on that altar of Baal. It's very dark, gets very confusing, and the minute you change that focus to what Jesus is doing, who's Jesus, and knowing I'm the same, you're now focused on the fire. You're focused on the love. And it changes everything about who you are and where you're going. You can break through every obstacle. You can overcome every problem. Nothing can stand in your way. And then you live as the blessed and the favored of God, because that is the plan. And that is why he came to walk on the earth, so you could see his perfection, so you could receive it, so the Spirit would dwell inside of you. You have it. Say, I have it.
I have it.
I have the power of God.
I have the power of God.
I have the Spirit of God.
I have the Spirit of God.
I have the love of God.
I have the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And as we focus on this, here's the interesting thing. When you focus on your own problems, you focus on the demand, the need. You focus on what's missing. You focus on lack. Anytime we're focused on ourselves and our problems, we get into a lack mentality. And I always say we don't want to be in a lack mentality. I say we want to be in a prosperity mentality, knowing that there's an abundance mentality. And how do we do that? By not focusing on the things that we're lacking, but by focusing on the supply, not the demand. The supply, who is the supply? Jesus is the supply. We know that through Jesus that we have all the blessings of God. We know that there is no shortage and there's only abundance. And when we focus on the supply, now we're looking towards where everything is coming from. We behold the perfection and the power. And that is what we get to receive. And that is when our life is transformed. Turn your attention around so you know whose you are. And whose are you? You're God's.
You're
That's
God.
Whose you are.
Amen.
Who are you? You are God's. And he is the great I am. And when we behold him, then we become the great I am.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I am God's creation. And then we receive it and we behold it. And we become it, and we walk in it each and every day. Say amen to this.
Amen. Amen.